Now, I'm delighted on the phone. I'm joined on the phone by Madge Fogarty, who set up Postnatal Depression Ireland about 30 years ago or something. Is it, Madge?
31,
my God. Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
And I mean, postnatal depression is something sort of we don't talk about that much, do we? And I don't even know if people talk about it among themselves. But you might sort of go through it a bit with us.
Yeah, you know, it's very much shoved under the carpet and people don't want to admit, even if they had it, you know, they don't want people to know they had it. There's still a stigma, which is quite sad, you know, because at the end of the day, it's an illness and it's an illness you will recover from. So it can come on straight away after birth or within 6 months. And a lot of people are surprised at that. You know, they think if they went to their GP after 6 months, they would say, it can't be postnatal depression, you know, at this stage. But it can, because usually there's an underlying bit of the illness there that you're hiding and fighting, okay? And then when it gets to 6 months, you say, oh, God, I can't cope with this anymore. So it's it affects 1 in 5 mums, and a lot of people are surprised at how many are affected. And it can happen after any pregnancy. You know, in the old days, they more or less expected it after your first baby, but it can be any pregnancy. And that's really important to know as well, because I know women that, you know, they had a perfect first delivery and everything went really well. And they thought the same thing was going to happen the second time around, and then they end up getting postnatal depression. So we can't be complacent. That's the most important thing. So, you know, people ask why did it happen to them and what are the causes? So one main cause would be if there's a history in your family of clinical depression or postnatal depression. That is, if your mum, say, had postnatal depression, then you might be more susceptible. So it's something to make sure your GP is aware of so they can watch out for it. If something major happens in your life while you're pregnant, this being something like maybe a death in the family, losing your job, moving house, moving to another country, anything that's a major upheaval can be a trigger. And a bad birth experience, of course, probably tops all of those. For some women, it's not just one thing. It can be two or three things coinciding together. And for myself, it was a bad birth experience. And you know, nobody can prepare you for that, okay? You can do all the classes in the world, you can read all the books, but you know, once you come inside the door of the maternity hospital, you don't know how things are going to go, okay?
I was going to say, like, your figure of 1 in 5, it surprises even me, and it shouldn't surprise me, but it does surprise me.
And even now, Declan, they're saying it is probably even higher because of COVID. You know,
you can use that word when it comes to COVID. I have no problem with it. I have used worse myself at times. Let's put it that way.
Women, you know, having to go in and have their babies on their own, not having their partner, being isolated in the hospital. So we figure it's even higher than 1 in 5. But anyway, we'll stick, that's the figure we have.
Absolutely.
So, it's...
Can I just go slightly back now? You know, we all know this baby blues, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Postnatal depression, I think it's important to get it out there, is totally different, really. You know, I mean, practically all women go through a form of the baby blues within a few days and that sort of...
Yeah.
And you're almost expecting that.
Two or three days and you're down in the dumps, the tears are flowing, you don't know what the hell is wrong with you, and then you get over it. But if you don't get over it, you know, if it lasts for 10 days or longer and your mood is actually got worse, it could be postnatal depression, you know, and it needs to be checked out. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about the major symptoms, we'll say. So we'll say it's going on from over the 10 days. What would the main, are they a sort of anxiety? Is it sort of just feeling down all the time? Or what is it just a combination of everything?
Yeah, and this is the thing, Declan. Most people expect people with postnatal depression to be sitting in the corner crying all the time, okay? That is their idea of depression, being down and crying a lot. But it may not be the main symptom is severe anxiety. So worrying all the time. And of course, needless to say, every new mum worries the first few weeks. it's such a change in your life, and you know, this new baby. But if that anxiety gets out of control, if you're afraid to be left on your own with the baby, if you don't want to be in the house on your own, and if you're not sleeping because of anxiety, and anxiety is the worst symptom, and all of the women will agree, anxiety is the worst.
Yeah.
Inability to cope, tension, panic attacks, low self-esteem, not being able to sleep, not being able to eat, or overeating. These are all symptoms, okay?
Yeah.
So the really the most important one is the anxiety. And, you know, women being so hard on themselves that they're a bad mother. And, oh, yeah, comparing with your neighbour, with your friend, with your sister, how come they're coping so well and I'm doing so badly and I'm such a bad mother, and, you know, knocking ourselves all the time. You know, and like, no one is a perfect mother, and that's really important, is all you can do is your best. But, you know, this comparing, this, oh yeah, of course, social media has played havoc with the whole scenario, because you see these women on social media and they have their hair done, the makeup on, they're looking fantastic and everything seems to be wonderful. And then the poor mom is saying, and what's wrong with me? Why can't I be like that? You know, we have huge expectations on motherhood.
Yeah, but as you say though, there, Madge, that the outer perspective, or the out, you know, you look at somebody and think, God, they look like they're really on top of everything. They look like they're doing absolutely brilliant. But as you and I know, that's the outer look. It's not necessarily the inner person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, I give talks at the antenatal classes in the maternity, and you can hear it from the girls. Like, they think once this baby is born, they're going to live happily ever after.
Yeah.
When actual fact, it's only the start of a journey, you know. But they just think they have this huge expectations that everything's going to be so easy, which is ridiculous. And then don't talk to me about the motherly instinct. You know, they have this thing, or, well, men often use this, you know, well, sure, you'll have the motherly instinct, so you will know what to do. You will know if the baby cries, what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
And the motherly instinct doesn't fall out of the sky. We learn, you know, we learn as we go along, that, you know, but it just doesn't happen. So, look, you know, even I was talking to a young mother the other day, and she has two children. She said, Madge, I know exactly. She said, I thought the same. We were just going to live happily ever after. We were going to have fantastic babies that slept through the night. And that's another one, Declan. You know, this thing out there, women will say to other women that are pregnant, my baby slept from the first night it was home.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And there is no such thing. There is no such thing. A baby needs to be fed every 2 to 3 hours. It doesn't sleep from the first night it's home. So they're actually having you on. But like, it's all this stuff, you know, and young mums soak it up and they think, well, my baby's going to be like that. It's going to sleep from the first night it's home. And like, that's one of the worst. I remember being sleep deprived is one of the worst, you know, things to cope with when you have a small baby. And particularly if you don't have support.
Yeah.
You know, like if you don't have your mother living close by, or a sister or somebody you can call on. It's really, the first 2 months are really, really difficult.
Okay.
I'm going on too much.
No, you're grand. No, but just say somebody has got these symptoms. How do we help them? How do we get them, to become in contact with somebody like you? How does that happen?
Well, we're very easy to contact. We have a phone number.
Right.
4922083. We have a website. We have an email address. We also do WhatsApp. We have a support meeting once a month. Well, you know, it's summer now, so we're probably won't be having them for the next 2 months because everyone's on holidays. But, you know, where mums come, meet other mums going through the same thing and share, which is really important. You can leave your message on our phone in the office. It's in CUMH. and we'll bring you back and we'll have a chat with you. We're all mums that have been there, so that's really important. Peer support is so vitally important, Declan.
Yeah.
And I can't say that enough, you know. Being able to talk to somebody that can say, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I found this helped me. And look, I am better. Because most mums think they're never going to get better when they're going through this. They think they're going to be like this for the rest of their lives. And it's a very scary prospect, you know.
Absolutely.
So, I just want to mention that because I was saying there that I had a bad birth experience. And, you know, we've lots of mums coming through us that have had bad experiences, but they've no one to talk to. Like, so I've been fighting for this for years that there should be such a thing as called debriefing after childbirth. So when you're in the maternity house, before you go home, that a midwife, a nurse, social worker, somebody will sit down with you and go through the birth with you, talk to you about it, and if you see if you have any concerns or questions. So what we find is, and I know it happened myself, I went home with questions because I didn't know anyone who I could talk to. And then this question is inside in your head, and then you're thinking about it all the time, and so it can bring on postnatal depression. So I think debriefing is really important, and I think every mum deserves it. You know, at least 10 minutes of somebody's time to see how everything was for them. Okay?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I see that because you do meet women sometimes and they still sort of want to tell you about the problem they had with a birth or whatever. And this could be years later, you know?
Yes, exactly. And the thing is, you know, if a friend asks you in the pub, how was your birth? You're not going to tell them exactly. You'll say it was okay or whatever, but you won't, you know. So you really need to talk to somebody about it and get it out of your head. So that's really important. The other thing which is really important is breastfeeding, you know, and I think everyone should give the breastfeeding a go. I wasn't in favour for myself, but I did give it a go. And the thing is, it works for some mums. Some mums take to it like a duck to water. And other moms, it doesn't work for them, you know.
Yeah.
And then they have more guilt because
exactly.
They couldn't even feed their baby.
Yeah.
And that is so shocking, you know. And I've seen so many women like that. So, you know, it's not a sign of failure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It just doesn't suit some people, and that's it.
And that's right. Sometimes I know in the old days, certain people would almost make you feel guilty if you didn't breastfeed, and I think that caused problems too. You know,
exactly.
And I mean, if you're depressed and you're anxious, your flow of milk isn't going to be great anyway. At the best of times,
exactly,
you know.
Yeah.
So I think people need to sort of realise that. You know.
Yeah, that's true. So have I covered everything?
You have covered everything. Sort of. Just tell us now the meetings. Just tell us about the meetings. What happens?
Okay, the meetings, at the moment we were having them in the College of Midwifery, which is on the fifth floor of the maternity, so it's where the classrooms are. So that's where we've been having them. And so the mums come, it's a small group, they could be 5, they could be 10, you know, they've never been anywhere in 10. And we share, we tell our story. People listen, people give advice, and you know, sometimes at those meetings things will come up that a mum hasn't had the courage to tell anyone else, and that is the worst thought any mum can have, and that is suicide. And it's a terrible to have to use it in conjunction with being a mum, but sometimes that is a thought in their head and they're afraid to verbalise it. So they keep it from their partner, their family, but they can share it maybe at the group. And then, you know, with them, it's amazing. You often find out maybe there's one or two other people that it did come into their head, you know. So, look, it's, you know, it's a safe place. It's a place where you can come, talk, get advice, have an old cup of tea, and know that you're not on your own. And I think that's the most important, because when I was going through it 30-odd years ago, I felt so alone and so lonely because I had met no one else that would ever have had admitted to having it, and people around me didn't really understand. So if I wanted to, they didn't know what to say, basically. And a lot of people are like that. They don't know what to say.
Yeah.
So what they'll do is, you know, if you have a broken leg, everyone rushes to your aid. But if you have postnatal depression, people will probably ask, will change the subject and say, isn't the weather terrible today? Or where are you going your holidays? Or
because they
don't know how to cope and they're afraid that someone will get upset. And, you know, but we need people to listen to us. And that's really important to get it out of your head, you know.
Absolutely. Now, just finally, Madge, I'm going to ask you about to give us the phone number again, because I think it's very important.
Okay. So it's 021-492-083.
Okay.
492-083.
Yeah. We'll put that up on our website, so we will.
And our website is pnd.ie.
Brilliant. Look, you're brilliant to come on and talk about it, because I think hopefully we'll have reached somebody with this, because as I say, there's a stigma attached to still attached to depression, and there seems to be even more of a stigma at times attached to postnatal depression, as you said. And if we can reach out to anybody who needs help or anybody who feels they need help, it's absolutely brilliant. Look, Madge Fogarty, thanks a million for that.
Declan, it was lovely to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
And thank you very much.
Thanks
take care.
Thanks a million, Madge. Bye.